This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Oh, no. You
made your choice. We are back. We are broadcasting live from Norwood Hills Country Club. We're at the 123 Club Christmas Party. There'll be over 400 people here today, including Jim Cavanaugh, who will bring the MLS to St. Louis, and the Person of the Year, Bob Costas. We are now joined by the Athletic Director of the Year, our friend Chris May from St. Louis University. Chris, great to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Awesome to be here at the 123 Club, one of those annual rites of the holidays.
Now, do you have time to get to the Monday one at the Pasta House, or are you too busy during the year?
We get to as many as we can.
Gotcha.
We try and get there once a month or so. But when you get to sit down with all these guys and that bring the heritage and the pageantry and everything about St. Louis, it's fun. You're sitting down with Whitey Herzog, and you're sitting down with all those guys. It's one of the real fun days.
How long have you been? You've been in St. Louis about 10-plus years now?
10 years, yeah.
So what did you know about St. Louis, and what's your appreciation now? And, like, there's a lot of old-school stuff like this that goes on, and now you're part of it. But when you first got here, you're probably a fish out of water.
I didn't have a clue. And so I came to this my first year. It was like, holy smokes, and you get Bob Golby, and go on down the line of all the history of St. Louis sports, and the more you're here, the more you appreciate it, and you get to connect and get to know the guys. So it's really a treasure that I had no clue when I got here.
How soon, when you were looking for a coach, did you know in your gut it's going to be Travis?
About 5 minutes after we met in Denver. We were talking to a lot of people, and we were really focused on who could recruit at the highest level. You know, 3 years previous, we had been as high as eighth in the country. So we wanted to recruit and run a program that we knew we could be nationally competitive. And so when we sat down in Denver, we had a pretty good idea, because our goals and our objectives and our values and where we wanted to go matched directly with where Travis was.
Why Denver, by the way?
It was just a good place to meet.
You're trying to keep the scent away from Frank.
Anywhere in the 314, you would have known everybody every minute of the day,
yeah,
Frank.
So, that's great. We text three or four times a day, and then for like a week and a half.
Went silent.
Oh, my goodness.
He was offended. I mean, that was a message of appreciation for the work Frank does, but I had to go to work.
And this guy, Frank, just named you the Athletic Director of the Year. Yeah. He just gave you an award. I didn't know you had.
I see him at Lester's. I see him everywhere in town.
He works out with my son at the MAC.
I work out with Dom and watch him lift, but I had to go to work for a little while.
I had to get the information from Eddie Ford. He wasn't very forthcoming either, I said.
What did Travis ask or want to know about the SLU job? Obviously, Rick got it going again, so there was some national attention, then it dropped off. I mean, he sold you on him. How did you sell him on the job?
Well, from the minute we sat down with Dr. Postello and Travis and Dr. Porterfield, and we really laid out, here's where we want to go. And we want to be a national player. And we believe we've made some investments. We want to continue to invest. And it was real quick that we both agreed that we had the same objectives and where we were going. And so I think it was a mutual sales piece, but I think it was evident very, very quickly that we were on the same page and where we were trying to go. And I think we hit him at the perfect time in his career. I mean, he played at the highest level. He's been around the highest level. And this city and his ability to really embrace the city and embrace the recruiting that it takes, I think it's been a really good match.
Give us an idea about his relentless recruiting and what he does.
Well, I'll tell you, it started when he wanted our job, because he was relentless in selling. And we heard from a lot of people that he was, it became real clear he knew how to sell.
You mean people speaking on his behalf to get the job?
Coach Pitino on down the line, we were hearing from a lot of high-level people in college basketball. And obviously including Travis all the time. But then when you see from the minute, the first meeting we had in Denver, he talked about Jordan Goodwin.
He knew who Jordan Goodwin was.
Oh, yeah, from the first minute.
In Belleville, Illinois.
Oh, yeah, we talked about local recruiting, and he said Jordan Goodwin's our number one guy.
He knew that immediately.
He knew from Jordan, he knew Cartier, he knew the landscape of St. Louis and what it meant from a recruiting perspective. And so that, as in any sport, any team that we have, we've got to recruit St. Louis well. And he's put the flag down that it's important to us, and it'll continue to be important to us as the high school kids that we signed are playing really well right now as well from St. Louis.
So it's your third year with Travis, picked to win the A-10. Ahead of schedule, or is this about right? I mean, would you consider it ahead of schedule?
Slightly, probably
just a little bit. If I would have picked us, I'd have had us in the top three. But we've got a good team, and in a month we're going to be really good. But I'm thrilled with the trajectory. We've recruited really well. We've got young kids. And as Travis will tell you, when we really talked about a five-year plan to really get it to where it's going, you hope to make a move in year three and year four and five. You want to be really good. And we got a shot to do that maybe a year earlier than projected.
And Houston Sunday. Who scheduled this game?
Houston's really good. And
22 in a row at home.
Yeah, they are. Coach Sampson's done a fantastic job. They redid their arena. They opened it up a week ago. And so Houston's really, really good. And then we get Florida State down in Fort Lauderdale in another week after we play North Carolina Central on Wednesday. So there's a lot of basketball to be had. Chaffetz Arena has started rocking again. That's been really fun. There's been great energy from the fans and the community.
You even got Martin going to all the games.
Martin sitting in the front row. We got Frank sitting in the front row on the other side. We've got Chaffetz Arena covered, but it's an exciting time.
Good stuff. Chris, thanks so much for stopping by.
We appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
This weekend, the athletic director at St. Louis University, Chris May, joining us. I want to tell you about our good friends at Beck Shoes. If you're looking for that special gift, for Christmas, for someone who has everything, go to BeckShoeProducts.com. It's that old school place. It's that old school piece of machinery. It's got the black, it's got the red, and it shines shoes like nobody else in the St. Louis area. It's a company that's been around for 80 years, and they've decided to keep the production of this incredible product going. And if you're looking for the best, look no further than Beck Shoe Polishers.
I think the man of the hour has arrived, Bob Costas, who is going to be feted. I think today is a day. I might stick around to listen to some of the material, too. Because, first of all, Bill McDermott will be hosting.
Yes, and he'll have some of those kind of Henny Youngman.
Yeah, he said the old Jack Buck material will be rolled out. And then Bob, I'm sure, while serious at times, likes to have fun.
Likes
to goof around a little bit.
I don't think Bob was up late last night working on his speech. Do you?
No, I think he's got this down. I think he has either standard fare that he does or, we'll ask him. He's headed. This is the equivalent of Media Row at the Super Bowl. The problem is every guest at the Media Row at the Super Bowl is selling a random product. So we'll welcome Bob Costas, and he'll say, let me tell you about the avocado growers of California before we get into the game. Are you pitching any product, Bob?
I am pitching nothing.
and loving it.
Yes. I'm stopping by for yet another What's Bob Costas Up To interview. I have a feeling that fellow broadcasters are about 100 times more interested in this than citizens of St. Louis or the nation. Yeah. Nonetheless, I show up just to be collegial.
Are you ever tired of the amount of awards you're receiving? I mean, from the Hall of Fame to the Cancer Award to the Hospital Award. I mean, it's been a run. Are you tired of it?
Well, I'm very appreciative of it. And I guess because of the Cooperstown honor, a lot of it has seemed timely. So, and a disproportionate amount of it is in St. Louis, which warms my heart. That means a lot to me. And there have been things in other places as well. I was talking to Vin Scully a few weeks ago, and he says, Bob, you're getting close to where I long have been. You'll be over-honored, and no matter how nice it is, you're out of things to say.
Over-honored. And I told Frank, we were talking about it today, you're not going to roll out any major speech. You've probably got a few jokes in mind, or, I mean, at this point, you know what you're going to say.
I'm told that Jay Randolph is going to conduct an informal chat.
Well, you won't have to say a word then.
I don't even have to have opening remarks. I just have to respond to whatever Jay thinks is interesting.
How about this group here today? And one of the reasons you're here today is because you know and are really good friends with some of the people here today. I'm wondering, when you show up here from Syracuse, at age 20, what kinds of things did you discover and what did you fall in love with, the joints and places to go in St. Louis?
Well, in truth, there weren't as many, especially downtown, there weren't as many places to go. You're at KMOX. There was a place called Fando's connected to KMOX at 1 Memorial Drive. Charlie Gito's Pasta House was open downtown. But this is even before Deerdorf and Hart's. You know, so Tony's was open. I guess Anthony's was open. You could go to one of the hotels downtown, but there weren't as many hot spots. Sportsman's Park.
Okay.
And Musial and Biggie's was still open on Oakland Avenue. And the Spirits played, as did the Blues, in the arena on Oakland Avenue. And the Blues had, rather, the Spirits had offices nearby in the Falstaff building.
Huh.
I don't know if anyone can get a Falstaff anymore.
Jay might have some in his basement.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
It's fully chilled. And everybody, well, not everybody, but too many people know this story already, but one of the first places I wanted to go when I got to St. Louis was Musial and Biggie's. So I go, Stan is not there, I have a burger, maybe the tab is $8 in 1974.
The most famous tip ever.
Yeah, I left a tip of $3.31 in honor of Stan's lifetime batting average. I don't know if the waiter got it, but it was a decent tip percentage-wise.
Your name came up because we were going through the list of people that Tony La Russa has gotten mad at.
Not me.
It's a long list. Well, on the dais.
You made a McGuire joke.
Oh, it was hilarious. Right. And didn't he storm off the dais?
No, he didn't storm off the dais. He just cold-shouldered me afterwards.
Okay.
And my son Keith says to me, Dad, you've been friends with La Russa for a long time. Just call him. So I called him the next day. And Tony's like, he's a smart boy. He's a smart kid. Yeah. The hatchet was buried almost immediately.
Yeah,
I forget what it was.
It was right after I think he had done the sit-down with you.
Yeah, he'd done the sit-down with me.
So it was fair game at that point. It wasn't speculation about steroids. It was something funny, and I think people laughed, and then Tony burrowed his frow or whatever.
He burrowed his frow.
Yeah, I'm trying
to. Or he furrowed his brow.
this is it. I tried to impress Bob, and I ruined it.
He furrowed his brow.
Hold on. Burrowed his
frow. His frow.
Anyway, reverse that. Edit that out later when we
use this as the best
stuff. I told Bob this once. Dennis Miller was doing Monday Night Football, and I was so excited. I had all these Millerisms, and I ran out to the middle of the field at the Dome, and I said, Dennis, big fan. You know, and I said, right. And Fred thought he saw Woodchuck is still my favorite. He goes, it's Gus. Gus thought he I blew it again.
Dennis Miller, since we're on the subject, God, is this a long time ago. On my 40th birthday, he sends me a card, and this is what it says on the card. Bobby, you're 40, and I'm in a hot tub with Gus Triandos. Was a catcher for the Orioles in the 50s and 60s. He specializes in these ridiculously obscure references. The first time I met him, in the hallway at NBC, so I'm maybe 35 years old, and he's just starting on Saturday Night Live, and he's coming out after a rehearsal. And before I could say hello, he goes, Bobby. Tell me something about Les Selvidge. Les Selvidge played in the ABA in its first year, 1967-68, and he led the league in three-pointers. That was his opening salvo, the master of the obscure reference.
He'd be better now with Google and Wikipedia. It would help. It'd be a little more helpful now.
So you mentioned your son just for a moment there. You clearly admit, in terms of baseball knowledge, he blows you away, correct?
Today. Yes. Not historically, but today. Yeah, if you want to know who the middle relievers are for the Padres, he's ahead of me on that.
To be fair. And I won't ask what's next for Bob. I already told Frank. It's going to be something along the lines of the later program in some format.
Combined with the HBO program.
Yeah.
If I decide to do it.
Okay.
I think a lot of people would love to know what intrigues you sports television-wise now. I mean, what would make you sit down, hey, I really enjoyed this, or what's appointment television for you? Do you watch games much?
Yes. Yeah, I watch baseball. I still watch a lot of baseball. Very honestly, unless you're really involved, unless it's the Cardinals or a postseason game, it is hard to watch a 3.5-hour, 4-hour, 2-to-1 game. It's just very difficult. It isn't even the length alone, it's the pace. And that's a big problem for baseball. But I still follow baseball closely. I don't have to follow the NBA as closely as I once did when I literally knew the 12th guy on all 30 teams. when we were doing the games in the 90s and early 2000s. But I'll still watch an NBA game. I'll be up late. The game will be on TNT. The Warriors will be playing the Trailblazers. I'll watch that game, and then I'll hang around to see what Barkley and Shaq have to say with Ernie afterwards. I have not watched a complete NFL game in 2 years since I stopped doing it, except in the postseason. I watched the second half of last night's Chargers-Chiefs game, which had a tremendous ending. But to put it in some kind of perspective for you, to use a hackneyed cliche, let's put it all in perspective, Frank and Martin. That really puts it all in perspective, as all sportscasters say. You know, somebody falls out of the upper deck to his doom, and then you say, you know, that really puts it all in perspective. And that perspective has a shelf life of about 10 seconds, because we're right back to obsessing over who the Seahawks will take in the third round, and what does Mel Kiper have to say, and I'm actually not part of that world, thankfully. But to put my relationship to the NFL in perspective, this is the truth. This past Sunday, I'm just idly channel surfing, and I come across the NFL Today. And Boomer Esiason is talking to somebody who looks vaguely familiar to me, but he has a beard, and I can't quite figure it out. And then he says his name, Frank Reich. And it's only then that I find out for the first time that Frank Reich is the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Wow.
And I'm happy. I'm happy not knowing.
Are you doing something with the Kentucky Derby, though?
No.
Okay, I thought I had heard there was one more.
I'm done.
Okay. But there was no big – I said Frank and I were going to put a special together. I said you didn't have any ceremonial goodbye at NBC or
–
there was no pomp. There was no furrowing of brows.
No pomp, no circumstance.
No chance.
There were circumstances.
Yeah, there were circumstances.
But there was no pomp.
It just seemed like it all of a sudden
it's
that's
all,
it.
It's all better than fine.
Okay.
All better than fine. And as Vin said, I'm approaching where I've been over-honored, so it's not like I need any more appreciations or attention.
It's a good place to be because Frank and I are typically him, food, me, drinks. We're just over-served. We're rarely over-honored. You know,
How about basketball love story? Did you catch any of that?
Because
there was a heavy accent on the ABA, too.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't think I caught every episode, but I must have seen half dozen of them. Just wonderful.
And Bill McDermott will be hosting today. He'll be doing many of these hackneyed jokes. How did you guys become friends?
Bill called me up once, only a few months after I had begun at KMOX. So it must have been late 1974 or early 75. Just said, hey, want to have lunch? I said, sure. And we became fast friends.
Good stuff.
He's going to have some more work with the MISL coming to town because he's Mr. Soccer.
The depth of knowledge is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, you could ask him about the Chilean under-18 team.
That's right.
And he will say, Frank, since they have adjusted their defensive schemes, and you're like, oh, my. And he knows it. Like it's, and then you do the Bill McDermott drinking game when you interview him. Precisely is the word to listen for. That's his go-to.
Precisely.
Precisely.
Right.
Bob,
he's
thanks for stopping by. Congratulations on another special honor.
I think this is a deeply informative session for your audience.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Martin. Happy holidays.
Here he is, the best. Bob Costas joining us, and I blew it. I had a great line, and I blew it.
In fact, but Bob Ramsey has just texted me, Burrow your Frau, or Fro, is a sex act in Germany.
So Tony did not storm off the dais. Tony was mad and gave him the cold shoulder, I believe. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the apology the next day.
So. Yes. It was Keith's idea to reach out. Tony was great at turning the page. He could be really mad at you.
Yeah, he was awesome at that.
I mean, he could be really mad. He got mad one off season. I had sent Rich Gould because I was on the air and Tony was at an event in town. So I scribbled like a handful of questions. And Rich went out there and had him. And the last question, working up to it, was, can you and Colby Rasmus coexist? Or get something about the Colby topic. And Rich said he just grabbed it and kind of, that's the first one he saw. And so Tony, you serious? You could come out here on the holidays and ask me about Colby Rasmus? And Rich said, oh, I'm sorry, these are questions from Martin.
Asking if I have a question up there. Good.
So then
I throw you
Rich, Rich comes back to the office. He said, buddy, it did not go well. And I said, what happened? He said, he did not like the Colby Rasmus question. I said, well, that was like number 7. after a couple of softballs, he said, well, I think I read that one first, and it went downhill from there.
But I do appreciate him trying to sell you under the
table. Absolutely. Yeah, I would have done the same thing.
100%.
So then I called Tony later that night, and he was with his buddy Ed Curtis, and we had a long discussion about it, too. And I said, well, it wasn't meant to be, so I thought you were looking for trouble. And I said, well, I was. I was looking for a headline. I just didn't want it to be the first question.
Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Jim Huer, who made this day possible for us to be here. Because let's face it, there's not going to be a radio station that's going to be out here. There's not going to be a radio station that's going to interview Jackie Joyner-Kersee and Bob Costas in the same program. So, Jim, we appreciate you being flexible and allowing us to be here. This is a special day in St. Louis sports. And, you know, our station is loaded with nothing but St. Louis people, and we cover St. Louis sports. I know we're not breaking down the Seattle Seahawks secondary like other stations
in town.
That's
next hour.
Wow.
Next hour.
So, I like it.
I just appreciate the fact that we are so St. Louis-oriented. Even Charlie Marlowe, who wasn't born here, I consider him a St. Louis.
He's a Toledoan, but he has become a St. Louisan. He is married into the blue bloods of West County, and he's now one of us. It's all true.
First of all, guys, didn't get any good guests today or what? How about that?
You know what, Bob is he and he's. I know he's being. I'm forgetting the words. He's being self-effacing, whatever. Like nobody wants to hear from
him. Self-deprecating.
But he believes like people are. People are tired of me. And I'm like, you are one of the greatest, not sports broadcasters, one of the greatest broadcasters in the history of our country. People aren't tired. I mean, he's not going to sit down with us next week and the week after. This doesn't happen very often. And he really believes, oh, people don't want to hear from him. Like, you're Bob Costas.
He once told me that he didn't want to get to that Brent Musburger oversaturation route. I mean, because there was a time where Musburger just did everything, and I don't think he ever wanted to get to that stage.
And I'm sure he's like, your audience would much rather hear 5 for Frank right now. I'm like, most days, but maybe not today. Which, by the way, it's brought to you by Greenville University. We did more than 5 with Bob Costas. That was brought to you by Greenville University, greenville.edu.
We're joined by the only sportscaster in town, retweeted by Keith Oberman.
How about that? But seriously, I didn't get to catch the first hour, but driving in and hearing JJK, great stories, Dave Phillips, great stories. Then we have Chris May talking SLU, Bob Costas. If you are a St. Louis sports fan, you are tuned into 590 for some great content.
Let me tell you, there's nobody else in town that's bringing this kind of heat.
That's the promo, okay? That's the promo.
I guess I got to work on that.
Jimmy, if you're good.
You know what? The problem is Frank's going to pack up and leave, and then Charlie and I are going to look at each other and say, okay, now what?
No, we got a game. We got a game for the next hour.
We got a game. Oh, we're going to play a game.
First of all. That's a lie. Frank will not pack up. He will pack up, then get some food, and then leave.
What did you guys do with all that food from yesterday at Schnucks?
You know, I think the
Dom is in town.
We commented that you gave the table of food at Schnucks a long look as if you were supposed to pack something up, box for Dom, and we said Frank thought about it, and then he knew he couldn't justify it.
You should have seen Frank right before the segment starts. Just kind of shoveling meat and cheese in his mouth. He's dropping the lettuce and the tomatoes all over the ground.
Just
no regard for human life.
Frank just took a handful, shoved it in his pocket, walked out the door.
No regard for human life.
Speaking of good food, Hot Shots is a good place.
Yes. So here's the deal. Thursday, morning after, Press Box, Midday Grind, Hardline. We'll all be broadcasting from Hot Shots and Fenton on the 20th. And there's a purpose behind it. A toy drive will be taking place all day at Hot Shots and Fenton. Donations to benefit Friends of Kids with Cancer. So anyone who comes to Hot Shots Fenton on that day and make a cash or toy donation, you will receive a coupon for a free Hot Shots appetizer. That's a small way of saying thanks. That's Thursday, December 20th.
How about the move by Bill McDermott in his 20s, whatever, 40-plus years ago? Hey, there's this new guy in town, this Costas. I wouldn't mind getting to know him. Seems like a nice guy. Yeah. They become friends. And then along the way, that buddy of yours becomes like this internationally known announcer.
And help Bill. And Bill has great talent. He didn't need much help. But sometimes you need a phone call, and it helped Bill go on a national level.
So Bob tried to and almost got Art Holliday the sideline gig at NBC.
He did a few NBC games.
And Ahmad ended up doing it. But I think for a while Bob was pushing Art Holliday for that job.
All right, a couple of business items here. Winning Streak is one of our great sponsors. Does your team or club want custom apparel for the Christmas season? Call or email winning streak to set up an online store for your squad this Christmas season. 888-570-6194, 888-570-6194. Our friend Lonnie Folks wants to remind you to go to Maryville's website, maryville.edu. Check that basketball schedule. See Mark Stricker's club in action this winter, loaded with some fine St. Louisans, including Casey Tisai.
And next hour, we'll continue live here from the lobby at Norwood Hills. We'll be listening in as the luncheon begins and as Frank packs up all of his gear.
Hey, there's Mr. O'Brien from the famous...
Obi Clark's
yeah,
in the house.
Yes.
Where's Walt? Where's Walt?
Charlie, you have living at Brentwood Forest. You've probably spent some time there.
100% Obi Clark's, and I've seen Sir Soccer there many times.
Oh, yes.
Always holding court. And when I used to live in Brentwood Forest, I'd actually run into Bill McDermott walking around getting some exercise several times over the years.
Very nice. Let's see. Brian, let's see on the business end.
I think you're set.
Oh, the Bomberito Automotive Conference. Want to remind everybody you can get the best deals by going to bomberito.com and searching through their extensive inventory of new cars, pre-owned cars, 20 new car locations, 9 pre-owned car locations. They sell over 30,000 cars a year at bomberito.com.
Nice binder there, Frank. Channel 5 official, all over it.
Official binder.
Sucking up to Costas with the NBC affiliate there.
Sure
Isn't
knows.
It weird? And I know we got it. Now we're up against it. But there was no real farewell for Bob. He didn't do the Super Bowl. They had Liam do it. And he said, I don't want to do it. I'm fine with that. And then he was just off the air after almost 40 years. Didn't it seem a little bit
that is crazy
unceremonious? Yeah. I don't think he's been feted plenty of times. But it did seem a little strange on the NBC side.
Don't you think they'll bring him back, though, for special reports? Kind of like Brokaw. Every once in a while they bring him back for big stories. Couldn't you see that?
I guess. Is Brokaw now done with that since he's tainted?
I just feel like every once in a while for the election.
But no, but isn't he tainted now with the Me Too stuff?
Yeah, you know, that thing, that was a big story, and it kind of went away pretty quick.
Was he one of those guys, too?
Yes. No,
he got everybody.
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Like, well, there's accusations that I may have been a little handsy.
Evening, NBC News.
That might be a little more of a Don Imus.
Yeah, I thought that was Imus.
Is that more Don Imus?
That was drunk Tom Brokaw.
That was a drunk Tom Brokaw. Dan Strauss of the Large Morning Show of the Afternoon does a good Tom Brokaw. He's
evening.
Known for that. Yeah, that's a little more. Mine did become a little Don Imus. I apologize. How about the Costas Vin Scully? That was pretty strong.
That was good.
That was very good.
Frank, you're excused.
Yes, sir.
Frank's
that?
Already started his car out there. He's got the valet warming it up.
I may head to the Gatesworth.
Oh, the finest in senior living. And
better
lunch.
Rush out before your mom finds something else to do.
That's right. I got to get there earlier. I won't be in the end table.
All right, coveted hour, midday grind coming up next.